morning.
By the grace of God, the Lord's open for me to share His holy word again with you guys. God is good. God is good. God is good forever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. My Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege and the honor, Lord, to be here. Thank you, my dear God, for how merciful and loving you are to each and every one of us. Dear God, we are so grateful and thankful, Lord, for this family, Lord, that you have put together, Lord. Dear God, we ask that you would bless and touch each person through your Holy Spirit, dear God, and minister to those who need ministering to this morning, Lord. My dear God, I humble myself before you, and I ask you in Jesus' name that you would speak through me, Lord, and Lord, bless the service, Lord. We commit it to you and to your glory, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open them up to John 15. Sometimes we come to church and we look around and we do not grasp what God is wanting to show us. I think sometimes we come and we're involved with God and we're enjoying the Word of God and Mike McIntosh showed us something when I was at Horizon. He said, when you come to church, he said, look around you. He said, that's our family that God has put together. And he said, look around to see the needs of the family. He said, pray for those who aren't feeling well. Love those who need comforting. Reach out to people. And sometimes, you know, in the last couple of weeks, we've had some distractions outside the church. And in the process of having distractions, I get a lot of phone calls from different people asking why certain people have to be around. And I don't know why, but only God knows that. Amen? But I do know one thing. There's a scripture that the Word tells us, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The distinguishing thing in our lives is that we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God when we surrender our lives to God. And the process of doing that, God is living inside of us, okay? And for the very first time in our lives, we come to understand and know what love is. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, the greatest commandment in the world is to love God and to love your neighbor. He never said who the neighbor was. It was just whoever came into your life. Amen? And sometimes we're hard to love. Amen? So when you have the opportunity to see other people, remember that it's only by the grace of God that you are where you are. You see, I'll be forever grateful to my God the day that he reached down and pulled me out of the mire and redeemed me. I don't know why, because I'm not worthy of anything that God has done for me. Yeah. But I do my best to help people, to reach out to people, to encourage people, to serve people. And every day of my life, Lord help me to apply that to my life. And sometimes it's not something that you want to do, but when God calls you to do, he equips you to be able to do it. And I can tell you, when you see things around you, thank God for showing you something that you need to pray about. Okay, don't pass it off as just something and feel bad for those poor people. Ask God to bless and help those poor people like he's helped you and your family. Amen. You see, we kind of look around us and we see a lot of different things, but, you know, I kind of, I feel bad when we have had somebody here that's walked and been our brother for a long time here. And now he's out in the world, and he's having a difficult time. And somehow or another, it's even more difficult with the brethren that don't accept him, that don't want to do nothing with him. That's not what God put us here for. Amen? The scriptures that the Lord has given me to share with you this morning. It's Luke 15. It's three stories of different things that happened. And I want you to keep in mind that the whole thing is that these people all needed love. They needed help. And so do we. Amen? In chapter 15, you have a story of Jesus sharing with a group of people who were called tax collectors and sinners. Now, I want to point out to you that the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious group were always around. Yeah. But what would have happened if Jesus wouldn't have come? This ministry that Jesus was doing with these people, who would have done it? Yeah. Who would have reached out to those sinners and those tax collectors? So I want you to see how important God works in our lives and how God brings us to those things and times in our time and his time so that we can accomplish his will. Amen? It's important. It's important that we realize and know that, because I'll tell you what. Look around you here, and this is your family. How often do you pray for someone in here, okay, who's hurting, someone who's not feeling good? Do you fellowship? Do you walk over and introduce yourself to someone that you've seen here for a long time, but you don't know them? That's your brother or sister. Amen? Yeah. See, we need to get together. Amen? Yeah. You see, we're living in times where you have a whole bunch of people who don't believe, okay? But if we believe, then we want to do it God's way. Amen? Amen? And he said to do it that way. That's why Jesus came, and that's what we want to do. See, it's an important thing in our lives, and, you know, we need to grab a hold of it. Amen? In chapter 15, in verse 1, it says, yes, we're in the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 1. It says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Jesus, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them. There's an old expression, tell me who you run around with and I'll tell you who you are. I don't know if you ever heard it or apply it or not, but look at who Jesus ran around with and look at what he did. Amen? So that really works entirely different than what we put together. Amen? So the word says that God's ways are not our ways. When you need wisdom, we ask God for it and he gives it to us. When we need love, he's the one that's only one that can give it to us. Amen?
Amen.
Had a family that came to the church this week. They're not even from here. And there's a lady that lives two blocks from here. And she needs the Lord. And by the grace of God, Tony and I spent some time with her. Pray for her. Her name is Lisa. Her sister loves the Lord in another state. And she did what this shepherd did here. She reached out any way she could to help her sister. Amen? See, this is the important thing in our lives, is not just to see something, but what do we do about it? Amen? It says the tax collectors and the sinners. I imagine that I was trying to try to figure in my life how their churches work if the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious people would look at people and they wouldn't even hang out with them. They wouldn't even invite them into the church. They had their little group and that was it. But Jesus, on the other hand, came, and the word said he came to save that which was lost. Amen? I don't know about you, but I was lost. Amen? The word says, this man receives sinners and eats with them, so he spoke this parable to them. Jesus wanted to introduce them to himself and to God, the real God that they didn't know. Amen? They thought they knew God, but they really didn't. They were religious, but that was only a statement. Amen? They wore outfits, so that people could recognize them. But in the process of that, their hearts were not filled with love for others. Amen? And this is something that each and every one of us in our lives, need to understand, that Jesus he saved us and redeemed us and he put us here so that we, can reach out to others. And we've all been given a gift, a talent, a blessing from God, how we can do that. And some of us never apply that. Some people come to church on Sunday, they open up the Bible, they read it, they hear the message, they go home, and they put the Bible away till next week. And they don't call anybody, they don't pray for anybody. They say, well, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I go to church, I do everything. That's not what God put you here for. And this is why Jesus was telling this story that he's going to relate to them so that they could pick up on the fact of doing what they were supposed to do, not what they thought they were doing. Amen? In verse 4, it says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he hath found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. The word says here that there was 99 sheep and one got lost. When somebody is not here on a Sunday, do you stop and think about what might have happened to them or what's going on in their life? I had somebody walk up to me this morning, and there's a sister that's not here. And they asked me, do you know why she's not here? And I said, yes, I do. She's sick. And I prayed with her this morning. I talked to her earlier this morning. Yeah. But I was grateful for that person coming up and asking, because you see, some people here never look at anyone else outside of themselves. Amen? Yeah. You see, Jesus is pointing out to us about this shepherd who had all this sheep, okay, and only one was missing. He could have said, well, you know, we have 98, so why worry about the other one? Yeah. We have enough here. Yeah. That's not what came into his mind. You see, when you care and you love people, you miss them when they're not there. You care what's happening to them. Amen? Yeah. We've had quite a few people that have asked us to pray for their children, for their sisters or brothers who don't know the Lord. Yeah. And, that to me is very important, because I have 3 daughters and I have 22 grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And guess what? I need to pray and pray for them all the time. Yeah. But slowly but surely, they're coming, they're turning, okay, and they're hearing the word of God, because I send it to them all the time. And I tell them, you need to get close to God. He's the important one, and he's the one that's going to help you through your marriage, through your life, through your problems, not anybody else. Amen. Yeah. But you see, we have to make the effort, okay? We have to do something in order to be able to help someone else. We can't just think about it. Amen? Yeah. The word says that he left the 99 to go after the one which was lost. The word doesn't tell us exactly what he did, but as a shepherd, there was something that he was very familiar with. That was the way of sheep and what sheep did. You see, knowing the little animals and the way that they are made a big difference, because it really helped him not only to take care of them, but to watch out for them, to understand them a lot better. You know, when we get together and we get to know each other and we can call each other, we can certainly find out an awful lot about somebody else. Amen? Yeah. I have a sister that's here today, and I have told her quite a few times, get together with the sisters, come close with the sisters, bond with the sisters, and pray with the sisters. I pray with her, and I call her, and what have you, but she never calls anyone else. Yeah. And that's sad, because there's a lot of ladies here who love God. Amen? Yeah, and she needs that love in her life. She needs that help. You see, this shepherd went out. Okay, we don't know exactly what happened or anything else outside of the fact that the word says that when he found, okay, the word of God says, seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it will be open. I'll tell you what. If nothing else, you can always pray for someone else. Amen? Yeah? Simple. We have telephones. We have all kinds of ways to communicate with each other, to reach out to others. Amen? Yeah? I mean, what is this shepherd could have said, well, I don't really have the time to go out and look for that other sheep. But that's not what he did. You see, we need to get involved, okay, for mothers and fathers, for children, okay? Are you involved in their lives? Do you know what they're teaching them in school? Do you know what's going on? What are they looking at on television? What are they doing at home? Yeah, see, a shepherd gets involved with everything connected with the sheep so that he could, you know, help them, care for them, love them. Yeah. It's important that we realize and know that, you know, we have the opportunity to care for others and love others because God said that we could. Amen? Yeah, it's not difficult. Yeah, we have a Bible study group on Tuesday nights, and everybody that comes hugs and loves one another, talks to one another. They spend time talking to each other, and we make sure that we do that. It's important that everybody knows how happy we are for each one and how blessed we are to come together. So every week we make it a point to make sure that we contact and talk to them and let them know that we care and that we want them to be there. And when they come, we want them to enjoy the fellowship, to enjoy the word, to enjoy being together. Amen? It's an important thing. We come to church here, and we have a blessed worship team. Yeah. You know, beautiful songs, you know. That's to lift you up. That's to fill you with that joy that you are in the presence of God. Amen? You know, I mean, what a joy that is. The last song, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I don't know about you, but I don't fear anything. Amen. Because God has blessed me. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. My wife, when she was going to die, told me, I'm not afraid to die, Lou. If it is God's will, he'll heal me. If it's God's will to take me home, I'm ready to go home with him. Yeah. See, there's something unique about us that God has helped us to overcome what the world is afraid of. Amen? This shepherd went out and found the sheep. And when he came back, he was so happy, you know. He went around to the other shepherds and said, hey, come on over, man. I was missing one of my sheep, and God helped me to find her. You know, there's a joy, you know. There's a joy inside that person's heart. There's a joy in... Jesus said, my joy I give to you, not as the world gives. Yeah. Do you have that joy? Peter and John were taken in front of the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, and they were judged. And the word said they knew that they had been with Jesus. How did they know that? Do people know that you belong to God? Do you, your neighbor, your family? Okay. You know, what a blessing it is to be able to tell people, yeah, I'm so blessed because God has blessed me with that. I just had somebody ask me something. My sister did. Did I enjoy my birthday? And I said, yes, I did. Yeah. You know, by the grace of God, I'm 85 years old, and God has blessed me every day of my life, and I enjoy my life, and I'm so thankful to God. Yeah. Every day of my life. Yeah. I struggle just like you do and what have you, because sometimes I got problems, I got this, I don't feel good or whatever. But every day I talk to people about God. Yeah. It's important to me. Yeah. I get in the elevator, good morning, God bless you, how are you? Doing well. Yeah. Yeah. See, God has been good to me. Amen. He is good to you. When God is good to you, Jesus said, go and tell the people where you live all the good things that God has done for you. Yeah. See, this shepherd was so happy that guess what? Hey, come on, guys. I want to celebrate, man. You see, every day you have life, do you celebrate? Yeah. Or do you complain? Do you murmur? You find wrong what's wrong with our government? What's wrong with the city? What's wrong where we live? What's wrong with the food? With the traffic? The word says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Yeah. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Could you imagine the angels jumping up and down up there for you? They're not afraid to show it. Yeah. I spent an hour and a half with this lady on the phone here at church this week. It was the best hour and a half that I have spent in a long time with anyone. All she was doing was praising God. And I was just listening. I just, wow, what a joy. We come to the second parable. It said, oh, what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Yeah. I don't know in your families how many people are unsaved, but how often do you pray for them? How often do you take the time to call them? And just say, you know, I was thinking about you and I wanted to say hi. Yeah, I love you. God loves you. Yeah. Be surprised what they would do. Yeah. I go all over the city and I go into so many places. And everywhere I go, I tell people about God. Doesn't make any difference who it is. I'm just grateful that I can. This lady misplaced something. Have you ever misplaced something? Yeah. Something very simple.
Somebody has.
Okay. Now, the joy part about that was that, guess what? After you found it, you just take it and go on, right? That's not what this woman did. This woman was grateful that she found something that she lost. And in the process of finding it, she celebrated. And she celebrated by sharing it with other people. You see, you have been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. We don't understand all of that. But someday, when we're in heaven, you and I have no idea how beautiful and how beyond anything that we could ever understand in this world here, what it's going to be like. But stop and think of that privilege that God has already given you. And look at all the things that are going on around you. Look at the people sleeping in the streets. Look at the people that are hungry. Look at the people that are hurting. How many jackets do you have in your closet that you never wear? How many shoes? Yeah. We have so much. Yeah. And sometimes we're so selfish. Amen? Yeah. Jesus didn't even have a place to sleep. But he took the time to love those that needed love, even those that didn't need it. Amen? Yeah. When the sun shines, it shines on everybody. Amen? That's how good God is. Yeah. The third parable is the parable of the lost son. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all there was, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. No one gave him anything. And I want you to remember that no one gave him anything. The word of God says he meets our needs. What a difference, huh? But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in your sight I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed a fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, this many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours comes and has devoured your livelihood with a harlot, you killed a fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. That last part of that parable, stop and think about how many people that are Christian that I was telling you about that come to church. They hear the message, they read the word, close their Bibles, go home, put them away. They don't open them till next week again. This young man told his father, he said, never done that, anything for me. See, he was living good for his father. He lived the commandments, but guess what? The word of God said, taste and see that the Lord is what?
Good.
Okay. You see, God wants you to enjoy your life. Amen? To have a good life. And sometimes, you want to share that with people and they don't get it. They don't get it. And it's sad. This story about this young man is a story about really the majority of us, how we in our lives took our lives and we thought we knew more than God and we could be bigger than God, amen? We found out it didn't work that way. See, there's things that the Bible teaches us constantly about how simple life is and how wonderful life is, with God. And we complicate it with things of this world. The word says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, lose his soul? What is it that you're looking for in your life? What is it that you want? See, this young man had everything. But in reality, he thought he had what? Nothing. So did his brother. See, when you have God, you have it all. You have it all. And this is something for each and every one of us to understand that, I'll tell you what, how do you wake up in the morning? Do you wake up with joy? Do you wake up thanking God for giving you another day? Or do you get up in a hurry? You don't have time to talk to God. You don't have time to read. You don't have time to do nothing, At the end of the day, you say, wow, man, that was a long day. You know, yeah, I'm ready to just sit down and relax. Yeah. God gives you 24 hours a day. How many hours do you give him? How much time? Yeah. Do you take the time, you know, to understand that if something happens to this world right here, you're going to be out of here because you belong to God? Yeah. See? Look at the war that's going on over in Ukraine. You know, those people were sleeping. One day they woke up and look at what's happening to their country. One of these days it's going to happen here. And remember what we have been reading about what the Word says. Nobody will do nothing for you except God. Yeah. Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God sent his angels to come in and take him out before any problems took place. And God will take care of you and take you out before that happens too. Yeah. You see, when you read the stories, you know, and how they looked at life and what was important in their lives, this young man took all that he had and he went and what? Wasted it. He did with it whatever he wanted to. It didn't satisfy him. It didn't provide nothing for him. Yeah. Yeah, this is why it's so important to understand what the Word says in here, that there was joy in those people's heart when they found something. Yeah. Yeah. They had joy in their heart to live because they were happy. They enjoyed their lives. And, you know, this is the important thing in our lives here. We come together, we worship next Sunday on the 18th. We're supposed to have a fellowship. I had talked to Pastor Stevie about that some time ago. But I said, you know, it'd be great to have a day where we can have the people come. And don't come for an hour, don't come for 2 hours just to come. But come and enjoy the day here, you know. You know, when you go out to a park, when you take a picnic lunch and whatever, you're not in a hurry. When you come to enjoy the other wonderful brothers and sisters that you have here. Spend time with them. Get to know somebody else that you don't know. Yeah. Pray with others. In verse 31, the Word said, and he said to him, son, you're always with me. Yeah. And all that I have is yours. Yeah. It's important that you understand who you are. We sang that song, I am a child of God. Are you? Do you feel like it? Do you share that with others in your way of life? The Word says, give and it shall be given unto you. Learn to give. Yeah. You'll be blessed that you did. Learn to share. Learn to walk with God and follow God. Let's close in prayer.